You're listening to The Owl on UCFM 87.8, broadcasting from Ngunnawal Country.
Good morning, I'm Tia Priest-Willamott. Today on The Owl News, we're talking about the university's current financial situation. The uni had initially budgeted for going into the red by $26 million this year, but that excess of spending over income is now forecast to have jumped to a deficit of $36 million. It's reported that at least 200 jobs will be axed by the uni in efforts to cut $50 million out of the university's expenditure by the end of 2025. But how will us as students actually be impacted by these financial issues and job cuts? I'm joined by a special guest, the university's Vice Chancellor and President, Professor Stephen Parker, who's here to share some insight into the situation. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you, Tia.
So, just getting into it, I suppose, what has actually led to this situation?
I think that there are a number of factors, as they usually are in something like this. Overall, the whole higher education sector has a difficulty about funding, and so plenty of other universities are facing similar kinds of challenges to us, although each university will have its own story as well. In the case of our story, we were hoping that revenue would be coming in over the last couple of years, which didn't materialise, and that was especially the case this year. So the reason for the jump in deficit that you referred to earlier was because revenue didn't come in, not because expenses were higher than we expected. There are obviously questions that people can ask about, why did we expect revenue that wasn't coming? And I think they're valid questions and we're looking into it now. But we are where we are. And the university is perfectly viable and sustainable at its current student numbers, but it is spending too much money. And so we're saving as much as we can in non-staffing areas, and there are some real cuts going on there, but we can't exempt staff. We just cannot make the numbers go round. And so I announced on the 21st of October that something above 200 staff members will be going. And as the last 2 weeks have gone on, it's become clear that this has to include academic staff as well as professional staff. So it's a serious and difficult situation.
And I suppose, going on from this, how will the job cuts actually impact classes?
Separate from job cuts, we are always looking at the viability of particular units and courses. Every university always does. We have demand-driven funding here. So if students don't enrol in particular units, there comes a time when that unit is unviable. So there will be scrutiny on which units are viable. That would or should have occurred anyway, but it will be seen as part of these whole changes whether or not they are. So I think there will be some units that are not put on, but more generally, students ought not to be affected by what we're doing. We are trying to protect student-facing roles. We clearly could not discontinue academic staff members who have vital classes to teach because there's a course running and so on. So I wouldn't have any concerns around that. We're looking at ways of doing things in the back office, if you like, more efficiently. This is not about in any way impacting on the student experience.
And if we're losing a bit of, a lot of professional staff, really, how will that impact the delivery of education?
It shouldn't impact the delivery of education. I mean, it will have an impact on the place. You know, there's only so many efficiencies you can get out of any organisation before it has some impact. But, for example, we spend money on sponsorships, sponsoring external activities. They're probably in the university's best interests. So it's not like it's an improper way of using money, but when times are tight, we have to cut that off. So there is a lot of money that won't be going out into the community, for example, to sponsor activities out there. That's not going to have any impact whatsoever on students. So we are really looking for savings that are away from the classroom.
And how do you think the community will then interpret this when we're not putting out as much money into it?
Well, I think they'll interpret it as UC's got financial problems and can't help us at the moment. And one of the things I'm trying to do here is just be open. There's just no point in giving evasive answers. People just chase after you anyway. And we're a public body. We have to be transparent.
And so looking into the courses that aren't very popular, is there, have you seen a sort of department that has a lot of unpopular courses?
No, not particularly. And to be honest, the work is still going on. And these proposals, when they arise, they're going to be going to faculty boards. There'll be consultation with the students on in those faculties. You know, there's quite a bit of process yet to be gone through before any final decision could be made. So at the moment, I'm hearing about numbers, but I don't have any more information. They have to go through the faculty processes. And it really is important that the student voice is heard in this.
And so how will the student voices be heard?
Well, within the faculty and the faculty board structure, the student representative council members in particular faculties, SRC centrally, I'm committed to consulting. I don't have the information to consult with personally yet, but it's happening out in the faculties.
And so whatever this SRC members say, this will be taking into consideration?
Absolutely. In fact, more generally, all of these proposals are being consulted over. I'm sure we'll make changes as a result. And also, if there are good ideas that we haven't even thought of, and I can give an example of that, because a good idea came up in a faculty forum last week, and yesterday we announced that staff who are retrenched could enrol in debt-free graduate programmes in nursing and teaching, cybersecurity, data science and building and construction management. Now, that was an idea that came up in a consultation. I hadn't thought of it. So I'm expecting many more ideas to come forward.
And will, I mean, sort of, obviously because all these positions are being cut, once the university is back in balance, does it look like these roles will be filled again, or is it once they're gone we won't need them?
As and when we grow in revenue, then I am sure that the equivalent or the comparable role will come back in some way. However, the university is sustainable on its current student numbers. So if those student numbers stay the same, and if the average dollar per student stays the same, then there is no particular reason why we should grow larger. However, if revenue improves, then obviously we invested in getting better as a university.
And obviously looking for ways to save some money as well in terms of keeping the buildings up to standard as well. So will the actual physical campus be impacted by these cost reductions?
I don't think so. So that our capital budget is something separate from the deficit. I think probably all universities would like to have caught up entirely with their backlog of maintenance, but we're not an outlier in that in any regard at all.
So some, like if there's a, I don't know, a bathroom somewhere on campus that's not the best, that is that going to be upgraded, or it's just whatever, what timeline that is?
I can't say. I'm not down to the bathroom level really in minor works, but you know, it is possible that some things are not going to happen this year, this coming year, but the year after. It's that kind of thing.
And obviously we've got the on-campus residents as well. Will their accommodation rent be impacted?
No more than inflation. So I've made that decision. Similarly with car parking and other kinds of fees, inflation.
Wonderful. And how will UC clubs be affected by this issue?
They shouldn't be at all. And the SSAF, the Student Services and Amenity Fee, is protected. It's not part of this. And as I think you know, there are proposals that 40% of SSAF money should now go directly to student-led organisations. So that's a bill before Parliament at the moment. So I don't see any effect at all.
And obviously there's the whole conversation around international students as well, and the cap on that. How will the university be pushing for more international students coming in to help gain more revenue?
Yes, indeed. And we're looking for partnerships, and there are some really good prospects with that. It's difficult to get a handle on the international student situation at the moment. We're not directly affected by the caps, but somehow a message has gone overseas that Australia feels it's got too many international students. And I think that is actually affecting demand for the country generally, not us specifically, but generally. So I personally think this is all unfortunate, but it was a decision of the government of the day.
Mm. And I know a lot of my friends said that part of the attractiveness for UC is a lot of the events that UC Life hold and the free food and things like that. Yep. Will that be impacted in any way?
No, we're maintaining them.
And so when does it look like the university will be in balance again?
So I can't give you an exact month, but there will be a month next year when all the costs of these changes are behind us. And on a month-by-month basis, we're in balance. And then we get stronger from then that point on. And you know, there's an important aspect of this. The reason we're doing this urgently and in a short time period is so that we get to that month next year when we're in balance, and we get there as soon as possible.
And so are we sort of looking at ways to ensure this doesn't happen again in the future?
Well, yeah, we are. That question has been asked before. And there are all kinds of guardrails, procedures and policies that could be put in place, learning from this experience. I don't think the University Council, which is our governing body, I don't think it wants to go through this again.
Mm.
And so I'm committed before I leave, I'm going to give an end-to-end process of how we can plan better, monitor performance better, hold people to account, and ensure that there's enough money to go around.
And obviously the digital master plan, that's got a lot of conversation around that as well. So without the chief executive officer running that, how will that plan actually be impacted, and then how will that flow onto the students?
Some of it won't be impacted at all, because it was a master plan made up of specific projects, and some of these projects had really good reasons behind them. So we need a new curriculum management system, for example. So that's going ahead. Some of those projects were halfway through. It would be silly to throw them away now. So, you know, we'll see them through to the end. There may be projects that we don't do. And there may be projects that we do in a later year. So it's that kind of thing. But I can't hide from people. Yeah, we're trying to find real money here. Mm. So we have to stop doing something in order to get there.
And have you had many students concerned about how this issue will impact their education?
Some. And we have two excellent student representatives on the University Council, and they've been asking me questions. And I went to have a breakfast with the SRC fairly shortly after I arrived, and I was asked these questions. And I gave the same assurances that I'm giving you today. We are not trying to affect student-facing or student experience roles in any way.
And obviously you're only here for a short period of time. Are you hopeful that once you leave and the next person steps in, all the things that you've started putting into action will continue?
I am. I'm more than hopeful. I'm confident, actually. Mm. I leave here at the end of January, beginning of February. So not everything will be finished or done by then, but it will all be in train. And I expect that to be finished off within a couple of months. By and large, yep, my successor will come in and play to his strengths, and all of this kind of internal stuff will be finished.
And so when are staff members finding out that their job's being cut?
So quite a number of them have already found out that they're at risk, if you like, that there is a proposal. They're only proposals, and we're consulting, and we have to take into account the feedback. So things could change. But of the sort of 18 areas that we divided the university up into, about 9 had already been told at the end of last week, and the other 9 this week. And I'm expecting the last of these proposals to be released on Thursday.
And obviously it's a sort of a tricky time at the moment, near Christmas and the end of the year, to find out that these jobs are in risk. How did that go when you were sharing this information?
Oh, it's a terrible time of year.
Mm.
Not just tricky. So it adds to the anxiety and the distress of it all. But I started at the beginning of October, and I can't move the festive season, and I have to do what I have to do.
Mm. And so what does the future of UC look like after this issue has been resolved?
It's fantastic. And one of the things that I've been saying to staff is, I know we're all talking about this really difficult stuff, but there are fantastic things actually going on at the same time. At the moment, we've got a research festival on. We're really engaging with members of the public. We've got some great grant wins coming up. We have a very important philanthropic announcement to make next week,
which
is student related. So there's brilliant stuff happening, and UC is going to be fine and get stronger and stronger. It's just going through a tough patch at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I suppose for these projects that are in the works, are there going to be certain stages that are then cut to help reduce costs, or if something's in action, it's just going to continue?
Look, it depends on the project.
Mm.
You know, if, for example, take a project which is nice to have but not essential, and if you can sensibly pause it here now, you should do. If it would be ridiculous to pause something having invested already most of the funds, then you see it through. So it's a one-by-one examination, I guess.
And so because a lot of the job cuts are happening in the executive sort of area, I suppose why were these roles there in the first place if we're now cutting them because we don't need them as much?
To be clear, there are job cuts across the spectrum. It's not just senior management.
Mm-hmm.
But I would expect 9 or 10 senior managers' positions to have gone by the end of this. I think we're at 8 at the moment we're speaking. I think it's the natural growth of organisations that they somehow add layers. And it was my role to come to the view that we have too many layers. And I think, you know, I used to be the vice chancellor here years ago. And I know how many senior managers we had on the same number of students. And so I know it can be done. And I'm just having to take it back to the sort of size of management that seemed to work in the past.
And so is this something that's going to be continuously examined in terms of how many we have and how many we need?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've become a bit too top heavy. We've got too many layers. I understand the processes that lead to this, but we need to get as much money, resource, time out into the classroom and into the laboratory so that we do education and research. This is not about people managing themselves.
And obviously, we've also got a lot of international trips that the uni does and hosts. Will these sort of trips be reduced to just a few each year?
By and large, yes. So there are restrictions on travel at the moment. If it's from external money, then that's fine. If it's within a grant and it was proposed, we're not doing anything like that. But to the extent there's discretion in the travel, then we're trying to cut it back internationally and domestically. With domestic travel, is it possible to do it by video? It's those kinds of things.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy day to come and have a chat. Is there a final message you'd like to pass on to students listening?
I'd like to underscore what I was saying earlier. This is a terrific university going through a difficult time. Its future is very bright. We want students to have a great experience here, and there's nothing that I'm doing which should have a negative impact on it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much again for joining us.
You're welcome.
This has been the OWL News on UCFM 87.8.